President Trump's on his way to Texas. I'm Chris Foster, Fox News. He and the First Lady will be in Kerrville, hit hard by flash flooding a week ago.
Nobody can even believe it, such a thing. That much water that fast.
At least 120 people died. More than 170 remain missing. The president's threatening, meantime, 35% tariffs on Canadian imports starting next month.
It was sent yesterday. They called. I think it was fairly well received. What we need. So we'll see what happens.
Brazil's president threatening retaliatory measures if President Trump sticks with a plan for 50% tariffs on Brazilian imports. Trump says former President Bolsonaro, facing criminal charges over trying to overturn his 2022 election loss, is being treated unfairly. Secretary of State Rubio's meeting with his Chinese counterpart today is described as pragmatic and productive.
Marco Rubio, in his first official trip to Asia as Secretary of State, meeting face-to-face with many counterparts at a Southeast Asian security conference, addressing growing tensions between Washington and Beijing over issues ranging from security to trade.
There are always going to be issues that we disagree on. I think there's some areas of potential cooperation.
Rubio, who held his first sit-down with Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi on the sidelines of the ASEAN conference in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, saying odds are high for a meeting between President Trump and Chinese President Xi Jinping this year.
Fox's Lillian Wu. Layoff notices are going out to 1,300 State Department employees today. Protesters clash with immigration agents in California.
Agents had a signed warrant from a federal judge that Glasshouse Farms hired and harbored an illegal workforce. The feds raiding two locations, one in Carpinteria, another in Camarillo, about an hour outside of Los Angeles. Protesters quickly showed up, blocking exits from the grow house and nearby streets to stop ICE vans from leaving filled with detainees.
Fox's William Lajeunesse. America's listening to Fox News.
Progressive presents Employee of the Month. Small Business Edition. Today's recipient from Terry's Tiny Homes, Terry! Sure, as the only employee of her company, Terry was probably the front runner. But saving money getting personalized discounts with a commercial auto quote from Progressive, well, that gave Terry the edge. Over Terry.
Terry! Terry!
Keep awkwardly Terry, chanting your own Terry, name, Terry. You Terry. Deserve it.
Woo!
Be your own Terry. See if you could save in as little as 7 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
You're great at protecting your personal information. You might even use things like two-factor authentication and strong passwords. But as much as you try to control how your info is protected, there are other places that also have it, and they may not be as careful. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats. If your identity's stolen, they'll fix it guaranteed, or your money back. Save 40% your first year with my name, Clay, as the promo code at LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
Good morning from the News 11 Information Desk. I'm Scott Gross. Yuma County has announced that some mosquitoes in the area are carrying the St. Louis encephalitis virus. Now, so far, there have been 5 confirmed areas of mosquitoes carrying the virus. The county says most people who get the virus won't develop symptoms. However, you can, and if you do, you'll experience a fever, aches, and it could even progress into a brain infection. Once the area tests positive for the virus, the county takes immediate action. And Arizona Governor Katie Hobbs recently signed a bill that helps redefine laws on animal cruelty. Now, the bill gives more definition to the previous animal cruelty laws by allowing animal control officers to prosecute offenders quickly and effectively. Now, the law was pushed due to the Chandler 55 case, one of the worst animal cruelty cases the Arizona Humane Society has ever dealt with. The law takes effect in September. I'm Scott Gross.
Sunny, hot, and humid weekend is coming with a high today of 107, 81 overnight tonight. Sunny and 108 on Saturday, 78 on Saturday night. Sunday, 109 with sunshine. Monday, sunny and 108.
Welcome to Money Talk with Yuma and Imperial Valley Wealth Management's Tom Rush, founder, wealth advisor, and George Davis, senior wealth advisor. Investment advisory services offered through CWM, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor.
Tom Rush here, George Senior Davis, and we're here to talk about what's going on and hopefully talk about the economy and money and financial situation. Good morning, George.
Morning, Tom. Senior.
Being by the border, we should call you Senior George.
Hey, I am going to be 60 this month, Tom.
Are you, huh?
Yeah, the big 6-0.
Is that when you bring out the black balloons?
60,
I already get the senior discount in a lot of places after 55, but there might be some new ones that kick in at 60. So.
You have any big plans, or what, are you just going to stay home and order pizza or what?
I'm going to a baseball game, a Padre game.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, against the Texas Rangers.
Okay.
That's right on my birthday. That's kind of cool. They have a game, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Therese is a counselor at Cibola, but she starts work already. And that's Jack's first day. It's a Monday.
Yeah.
His first day at COFA as a freshman. So
you're going to the baseball game by yourself?
No, me and Matt are going. So they didn't have a college student that can do that.
Well.
So anyway, that should be pretty fun. Hey, I want to ask you something, Tom, because I am turning 60. So my wife, bless her heart, is 55. So she's 5 years younger.
You married a baby.
Yeah. Yeah, I was smart. Go after the trophy wife. Here's the thing. Health insurance, you know, when we do our financial planning, because we're big into the clients and their financial planning, the health insurance is always a big deal when you have to think about that. So I have 5 more years to Medicare.
Yeah, if you don't have Medicare, the health insurance is really, really costly, is what
you're
saying.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, exactly. So she's under the impression if I retire, let's say I retire at 62, just throw a number out there, not to scare you, because I know you'd be worried. 57 would be her age.
Yeah.
Does that makes sense? She's like, when you retire, I want to retire. I'm like, well, you're 5 years younger. You're 5 years younger than me.
But what makes sense, though, just the fact that...
But I'm on her insurance through the district. So
yeah.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, but sometimes when you retire, the Arizona will let you carry that on. They might charge a tad bit more money, but it's still a little bit more reasonable than the private side.
Yeah, she's been there for 25 years.
But
now,
she can carry that.
Yeah.
You would stay with the Arizona one, and I think it goes up a little bit.
Yeah, I think it goes up quite a bit, but that's a good point.
But not as much as if you went to the private health insurance, right?
Oh, no. The private would be, very costly.
So that's the question you want me to answer?
No, my question is, do you think, because what if the shoe was on the other foot, and I was 55 years younger?
Yeah.
What do you think? She should work till 60, and then
I think it depends on your financial situation. If you can afford to both retire and you both want to retire, then why not?
Okay.
If you do a financial plan and it looks like you're going to, you know, start running out of money at, you know, 80, then you might work longer.
Okay.
So I think it's more about your own personal situation.
Yeah.
But
I thought you might side with me.
But you wouldn't want to. Yeah, but I mean.
Kidding. No, but it really is a real life dilemma that a lot of people have. You know?
Well, why don't you map it out for her and show her? And if you're underfunded, you can say, like, no, you got to work. Because if not, I'm going to die before you and you're going to be broke. That's scary.
Let the plan speak for itself. Yeah.
He's already told her that.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm a good husband overall. Listeners don't think I'm like, you know, but financial no. But if she could retire when I do, that'd be perfect.
Financial concerns are real;
they are real.
You know, and it depends on what you want.
Right. And Medicare is a big deal. Medicare gets a short. A lot of people talk smack about it, but it's pretty solid. So people on Medicare do pretty good when it comes to not having to pay much.
They say the guy who makes the shoes, his kids have bad shoes or whatever. What's that saying?
Yeah.
So have you ran those numbers on yourself? Because that would be black and white.
Yeah, we've run the financial plan, but I have to get a little bit into the details with how much the insurance would cost.
Correct.
Input that scenario. Worth her, you know, her waiting. So I've ran an overall plan, but need to get into the nitty gritty.
But you could also
let you get into the real details for it.
Well, you could also do a what if scenario, which says if you know, both of you guys retired and somehow you passed away within a year, you never know. How does that affect her? Because there's a lot of different variables you can plug in there. Because a lot of times when people retire, they're like, well, you know, we can retire. Yeah, you can as a group couple, but then the what if.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the what if is devastating because some people put a lot more into the Social Security / maybe they have a pension, so it kind of really affects it.
Yeah. No, that's a good point because also what if she dies? She's 5 years younger and female, so the chances of her outliving me are pretty good. But if she does,
but you can do
what
the
happens
what
to the insurance? Am I still on it?
I don't know. The state would tell you all that. But you can do a what if on her too, because she's Arizona retirement is not a bad retirement. So if she just takes it on her name only and not, so it's on her life expectancy and not yours, and then she dies, that cuts you out of that.
Yeah.
So that's why you can do another what if scenario on the financial plan. And say what happens
survivor.
If you do a joint, you do a single, she dies early.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can run multiple variables and then look at them all.
It takes away a little bit of the uncertainty because no one really knows, unless someone's very sick, you know, no one really knows who's going to go first. But those what if scenarios, you know, put them in, it's an eye opener.
But where I look at it is a lot of the what if scenarios on the financial plan is how devastating is it? You know, if your number goes from like an 80% funded down to like 75, that's not a huge devastation. But if someone passes away and the funding goes from 80% down to like 40, then that's a problem.
Right.
So it just depends on how much the difference is.
Mm-hmm.
So next time we come on here, you're going to finish that financial plan. We're going to review it on air, George, and you're going to tell us which way is the way to go.
A little homework, huh?
Well, I mean,
no,
keep talking.
Yeah,
how many times have you brought this up, George? Let's bury the hatchet and see which way you should go.
I only turned 60 once, Tom. It's the first time I brought it up to you.
No, you brought it up on the air before.
Hey, he's mentioned it.
Yeah, he mentioned it every show. What do you think?
Hey. Yeah,
well, the big thing would be insurance, right?
Yeah, insurance. I think insurance is one of the biggest deals.
It would be insurance.
That'd be $20,000 a year or better.
To be honest, the biggest thing is the girl in the room is, did you put away enough money?
Well, that too.
Whether it's through Arizona retirement or what you guys have done.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's
401ks, all that.
Yeah, that's going to be the writing on the wall. And then after that, you can start doing the what ifs on health insurance, mm-hmm. what if on death, either one.
Yeah, because I'll tell you what, the mortgage isn't paid off yet. That's a big factor, too.
Well, you built that big mansion up on the hill, George.
Yeah, the big mansion on the hill, Tom. El Senor Davis Mansion.
Anyways, hey,
I wanted to tell you real quick because the listeners like my, because you gave me a little bit of a guff last time about my concerts. So next weekend, we're going to Morgan Wallen.
The country, right?
Yeah.
I don't know any songs of that, but I heard his name.
It's the Cardinal Stadium.
You going to wear your alligator boots, George?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to break those out. Lost a little bit of weight so I can wear my stranglers, too.
So for the listeners out there, we had a conference in Tennessee. Nashville.
Nashville.
And they have you know, all the bars and that, but they also have these boot shops. So I dragged George in there and made him buy some alligator boots. Best move you ever made, George.
It was, man. We walked in, and Tom's like,
I told the sales guy, we want the most expensive boot in
here.
That's
what he said. He goes, hey, we've got the most expensive boot in here. The guy got this big smile and stuff. You knew what he was talking about.
Started hard-pressing you on the sale.
Yeah. He's just like, whoa, these are alligator.
But a pair of boots will last you till you die, right?
And they're comfortable, too, because of, you know, the flexibility in the alligator. So good. That was a good move. I also got a shirt, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
good.
I still wear that outfit.
Dress up now.
Yeah, definitely.
Hey, I want to talk about this big, beautiful bill that was passed since it's passed. And you hear bits and pieces, and even bits and pieces are still coming out. I think I was reading stuff on it and trying to figure out the changes. And if you had to put a big picture on it, I think the overall changes is with these tax cuts, it's going to provide more money back to the people, whether you're rich, you know, poor, rich, probably people with a higher tax bracket would probably benefit more. But people in the higher tax bracket usually also spend more money either on their personal stuff, household, a lot of them are business owners, right? Because a lot of business owners seem to make more money than employees, or depends. That also gives you other deductions and things you could do. So really what it is a big tax grab, you know, back from the government back to the people. So I think that's the overall theme there. Now, one interesting thing that's coming out, and this was a big, you know, now with all the news, you kind of wonder what's real, what's not, but I got some data, is the deficit was supposed to add like $4 trillion, or the bill was going to add about $4 trillion, $4.5 trillion. That was the big don't do it scenario.
Yeah.
So what they're doing now is they're running numbers, and I don't know if you guys read this, but the numbers are starting to come out. And just like most bills are so big, no one knows what the heck's in it. And then later they like, well, this is going to do this, that's going to do that. So what they're saying is the actual, I'm going to call it the big, beautiful bill, is going to reduce the deficit by about $1.4 trillion.
Over 10 years.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, new mandatory savings are about $1.6 million. Border defense goes up by $300 million. New Trump tax cuts go up by $130 million. Non-tax revenues is minus $95 million. And then change in debt service, $63 million. But basically, overall, about $1.4 million. Now, the other variables, which no one ever talked about, at least I didn't hear about it, is there's a, also they think overall that this Trump policies, so not the big, beautiful bill, but policies could can maybe reduce the deficit by around $6 trillion. So let me repeat what I just said. The bill's supposed to add about four and a half, and his other policies will reduce it by about $6 trillion. Which is a negative $2 trillion.
1.52.
Yeah. And the breakdown they give on that, and again, I'm just reading stuff, is the big beautiful bill is 1.4 trillion negative, tariffs, 2.8 trillion.
That's been a big surprise. They've taken in more money than ever dreamed possible. It's like 100 billion already, and it hasn't really got kicked in yet.
Yeah. Yep. And it's not over with. But that's a big. Now, discretionary spending, and they think for years 25 and 26, would be about $1.5 trillion. I don't know if you know the answer to this, Russ, but I think discretionary spending is that maybe it's on the budget, but they don't have to spend it. And if the executive power wants to pull their wings in and get tighter, they can, right?
Yeah, but never trust your elected officials, man. Never trust them. Because you know, a lot of times they put money out there that they don't need, knowing that it's a piggy bank if they need it for something else, and they'll transfer it. Right?
Yeah. You know? But I mean, if he's getting leaned on pretty hard by his followers about spending, because that's where
he
got elected on. Yeah.
Sure.
But you talk about electric officials not being trusted, Russ. Weren't you at one point an elected official in Yuma County?
I just told you, don't trust them, man.
Hey, I'm talking from spoken experience. Like a true guy. True, yeah. Change in.
Do you remember what the
hang on a second. I'm not done yet. So change in debt service, $750 million.
Okay.
And I think that's just refinancing the debt thing.
Yeah.
And then basically regulatory changes, I think, could be about $300 million. So overall, I think the big picture
regulatory changes, $300 million. What's that?
I'm sure a lot of it has to do with them cutting the USAID and other, I don't know, but they lumped it all together.
Okay.
Don't know. But I guess the overall picture is more money back to the Americans with less tax, more deductions available, especially for businesses. There's some good deductions in there for businesses that expand. And then overall, maybe about a $2 trillion deficit, a lowering, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't even include if we go into some kind of boom with the economy and AI and all that. And that's not factored in, but that could be another factor that would cause revenue or economy grows quicker. You're actually taking more tax, even though there could be some cuts.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Maybe, I mean, hindsight, after this bill's been passed, it looks like there's, looks pretty attractive to me.
Aren't those numbers the one thing that we're not sure about? And Carson came out with their mid-year outlook, Tom, uncharted waters. But one of them is, in here, they says the tax foundation estimates that these tariffs will increase revenue by $1.5 trillion over the next decade. So it depends on, it's pretty kind of subjective to who you're listening to, because someone's going to say $10 trillion.
Well, yeah. This is $2.8 trillion.
A year.
So it's $1 trillion off.
No, that's not over 10 years. That's 1 year, right?
No.
It's usually 10 years.
It's over time. I don't know if I remember. But
okay.
Yeah, it's not 1 year. Because save $6 trillion a year, that's a lot.
Yeah, no, that's a lot. Yeah. See, this one here says 150 to 200 billion a year.
Yeah.
Which is just much lower. So
but all they're doing is estimates. I mean,
it's
how the numbers come in, but
mm-hmm.
But I think their overall take on this was don't tell them not to pass a bill. Deficit's going to go up 4 trillion and
right.
Really it looks like it can go down 2 trillion.
And
if the economy does well, it could go down even more.
A lot of those numbers are based on the Congressional Budget Office, which does a lot of assumptions, and those assumptions are very political. Assumptions on how much will it grow, how much will we take in tariffs, how much will
mm-hmm.
will people go back to work if we do these things, and how many businesses are going to come into the country. And they're not going to agree with the Trump campaign or their economists.
Yeah.
They go their own way. So the CBO's wrong more, I mean, a lot, because they're plugging in what they're being told.
Yeah. So, I mean, you follow this. So are you saying, are you optimistic on this big, beautiful bill?
I am. It doesn't fit. I mean, I've seen polls out there, and the polls are, like 60 or 70% don't like it.
Because I think it was marketed wrong, right? It was marketed like raise the deficit.
That's part of it. And part of it is the way they asked the poll, are you happy with everything in it, or are you happy, does it have everything you want it or something? And it doesn't have everything you want. And it doesn't have everything in it you don't like. And that's pretty normal. But if you ask the right questions, you can make the polls look like crap. And on top of that, just what you said, they really didn't market it. And people believe that they're cutting Medicaid, Medicare. It's not true. They're cleaning up fraud and abuse and taking people off the rolls that shouldn't be there.
Sure.
And that's what they should be doing, because following what we call the rules.
Yeah.
I mean, I know the other party doesn't believe in rules, but they do exist. And those are what Congress agreed to and what other agencies agreed to. And we just said, it's because we're nice people. I'm not going to enforce the rules. Well, that costs us all billions of dollars.
I mean, there's people taking Social Security that are, 120 years old.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there's a lot of, it seems like, if the Doge thing keeps going.
And it will.
It's going to find more.
But the Doge can't do a thing at all except
point it out. Point it out and recommend something. Maybe.
That's all they do. Yeah. And then Congress has to make the moves.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of holdup. And that's why Elon Musk is so mad he doesn't sleep anymore. I think he's running around doing tweets all night.
Well, the other factor that's not into this deficit thing, because, deficit's a big problem if we can't figure out how to get it down, is the $5 million ticket, golden ticket, right, with the letting immigrants come in that buy a $5 million fast track for citizenship.
Yeah. Right.
And if they get, 1,000 of those.
1,000. They have that.
Isn't that $5 trillion?
They already had.
Are you a math guy, dude?
Yeah, that is. $5 trillion.
So if they get 1,000, a thousand people.
Oh, well,
No.
Isn't it?
50 trillion.
No, it's not.
That's three zeros.
Get your phone out, George.
Calculator. You guys are all math guys.
Well, I mean, I'm just guessing, but my point is that could take a couple trillion off on that. And I think these guys with money around the world, because there's a lot of people that, rich, a lot of these countries are rich or extremely rich. Poor is probably poor, but.
There's already been 60,000, 70,000 sign up for it.
Calculator out if this thing could do it. So let's just say they get 100,000 people. How does that sound?
So you said 1,000. That's why.
Well, he said 67,000.
They're probably close to 100,000 now.
So now we're looking at 5 to the 11e. What's that? 11,000. That's a trillion, right?
Yeah.
5 trillion. Is it?
1, 2, 3. Oh, that's 11 zeros.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So see that could be. That's not even mentioned in here, right?
How many people do they say they've already got?
They've already got 60,000 to 70,000.
It was 60,000 to 70,000.
They haven't vetted them yet and all that.
Yeah. But they showed interest.
They had 50,000, 60,000, 70,000 to do it. But Trump is looking at getting 5 million people do it, which would pay off the national debt.
Yeah.
Now, whether or not you get 5 million, I don't know. But
7 billion in this world, and what percentage of that would have to be? 1% of a 7 billion? Come on, George. Is it 7 billion in this? 7.5 billion?
What, our national debt?
No.
How many
population.
People?
Like, they have to get less than 1% of the people to do this.
Oh, of all.
Because 1% of 7 billion is what? 700,000.
There's enough people out there to do it.
But is there enough money, though? 5 million.
And some people say, well, it's not fair because then you're only letting rich people in. Okay. Right now, we just let 20 million people in the last 4 years, by estimates. 20 million people
that are
taking money away from us.
Yeah, so on the programs.
So can we not take 5 million that give us money
and
create jobs, invest in assets,
and a lot of those people
hire people that
have money have the business mindset, right? I mean, they didn't get the money from nobody.
They're mostly businessmen, I would imagine.
Something to bring to the table,
That are family generational money or something. Yeah. But still, they understand.
But they all still have to go through a vetting. It's not like got money automatic.
Yeah.
There's still vetting that goes on.
Sure.
But they're not a cartel member or something like a drug lord.
Right.
So this is kind of interesting, Tom. These tariffs started at 2.4%.
Yeah.
And now they're at 17.8%. This is the highest level since 1934. 90 years.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, let's talk about that in a minute, but we'll take a quick break here. This is Money Talk, 5-6 a.m.
Woo!
At Yuma and Imperial Valley Wealth Management, we understand that retirement is a journey. Our team is dedicated to helping you retire with confidence, providing personalized strategies tailored to your unique needs. Whether you're just starting to plan or nearing retirement, we're here to ensure your financial future is secure. Investment advisor services offered through CWM, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor.
This is Derek Eggerberg, NMLS number 180899 with Mortgage One. When it comes to the biggest financial decisions of your life, you deserve expert guidance. At Mortgage One, we know a home loan is more than just numbers. It's part of your financial future. Our team's highly qualified professionals provide a complete mortgage analysis. We'll help you explore the available programs and options to fit your needs in today's marketplace. The Mortgage One team will work to blend your mortgage needs and compare cash to close and payment options with various programs in today's marketplace. Place offering competitive interest rates to meet your needs. Again, Mortgage One, an equal housing lender, NMLS number 898812. Give us a call today at 928-483-LOAN, which is 928-483-5626.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk here. Tom Rush, George Davis, and we're talking a little bit about this big, beautiful bill that was passed, and we're talking about the deficit. And then for the listeners that haven't listened in the last, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes, is that the deficit thing has a good chance of going down based on these numbers coming out and other variables. So,
yeah.
And I think Trump's actually is going to start, like you said, pulling in his wings more. And I think they're going to start cutting stuff, too. Or redirecting money, like they want to bring the education back to the states. And that's going to cut a lot of overhead up top, right?
Right. Part of the big, beautiful bill has to do with some of the education things, too, in that, you know, how we have choice in this state. You know, even though our governor would love to kill it, right now we have freedom of choice for, ESA.
Yeah, and not only choice, but the state will give you $7,500 to
that's right.
help support it.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that actually saves us money because it costs twice that to go to a public school.
Yeah.
But the other states don't necessarily have it. In fact, it's only actually Republican states that have good school choice programs. But they just, in the big, beautiful bill, they put in a federal reimbursement for school choice.
Yeah, so it's going to be more, it's going to help these states.
Even blue states.
Yeah, blue states. Yeah,
to be able to deduct from your taxes. And I don't remember, it was a limit. It's less than $2,000, but you can take that right off your federal taxes.
Everything helps.
Well, I was reading that the SALT thing came out positive for states that charge more, have a higher tax rate. So it actually came out and benefited some of these states that had the higher tax.
That was some orange ways. And what SALT is state and local taxes being able to be deducted from your federal income tax.
Yeah. So.
And that just sucks because people like in California will pay a lot less federal income tax than people in Texas. And that's not fair.
Mm.
You know, I mean, it should be two separate things. You pay your state tax, you pay your federal taxes.
Yeah.
And so what states do is they'll charge taxes. They don't worry about it. You get to deduct it from your federal tax.
Yeah, so take it from the bigger pool.
Yeah. And
so for efficiency, they're not rewarded for efficiency. They're rewarded
spending. Rewarded for spending.
Yeah. So two things you do got to watch out with this bill, if you're thinking about doing it, is they're doing away with some of these clean credits, especially with the electric cars.
End of the year, correct?
So September 30th.
Oh.
So if you're going to go buy an electric car, you got a couple months to do it. And that's a $7,500, I believe, deduction.
Yeah.
And then there's also, by the end of the year, there's some of the solar credits. I think most of them are going away.
And these agencies always need to be standing on their own. They needed to. You know, nobody likes the day they cut them off.
Yeah.
But I think we know that the EVs are on solid ground. They're solid.
And the solar, you know, they're. I mean, I think they supplement these so they can get up and running. And then once they get up and running, they start pulling them back. So, but if you're going to get solar by the end of the year, I would sign that contract or figure out what the rules are, because that's going to also, credit's going to go away.
Yeah. And solar is continue to go down in price. I mean, you can. You know, the panels, when they first come out, were like 80 watts and hugely expensive. The panels are cheaper now by a lot, and they're 400 watts.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're still a good deal, even if you have to pay for them. But they should stand on their own.
Yeah.
How do these, of course, last few days have been getting really hot here, like 117.
Yeah, I like it.
And
too,
I see
George.
The Teslas, and I'm thinking, how do they do in the heat like that? Do they do pretty well, or do they still have trouble?
There's a reduction in efficiencies and a reduction in the amount of range because of it. Mm-hmm. So if you're, and I'm just guessing, let's somewhere around 350 miles is a normal range.
Okay.
But they may go down to 320 or 310.
It's the same in the cold too, right? If it's freezing,
I think it likes cold.
The battery.
Oh, no, it doesn't like
no,
too,
it doesn't.
Too cold. It
too
doesn't.
Hot, yeah. Too cold. The efficiency goes down. Yeah,
efficiency. But it's not, I don't think it's hurting the batteries as much as it's just, it screws with the storage.
And then the other variable on this whole thing, too, is a lot of these countries are bringing back the jobs and the factories and whatever they can back to the U.S.
Yeah.
And that's going to take, you know, a good 18 months, 36 months.
Well, some of it is a matter of, you know, the buildings are here and whatever, and it's just, you know, re-operating or re-upping them. You know, it's a matter of adding people back into the buildings, and they may be running with skeleton crew. Let's put it back to full crews.
Some of
that's going on.
Yeah.
Already.
Still, it could be 12 months. I mean, it's not going
to
happen
to build a new building could take 12 years.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, you know what's amazing?
Well,
not
as much anymore.
I live out on the Mesa, and I drive by the new Amazon building on 4E.
It's been under construction.
That thing's gone up quickly.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you think these big companies come in and say, hey, if you're going to do this contract.
Well, look how fast that Musk can build one of those mega buildings for production.
Yeah.
It's just amazingly fast. He can do them in a year or two.
Yeah.
And they're so massive.
They
they're
just
like
demand efficiency, right? Because it's a big contract. And they probably, you don't hit your number, we're going to take some money back or something.
Yeah. Those are the type of facilities that require one of those little mini nuclear plants.
Talking about the shipping container.
I don't know anybody does that yet, but they're not in the United States.
They're coming.
I hope they're coming.
For like a data center or something, they're putting a little nuclear facility, a mini one that powers
it's,
it.
It's more like a shipping container box.
It's going to be required on some of these AI companies.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that. And I thought, well, it's just a computer. How much could it be? Apparently a lot. Nuclear is going to be they're rejuvenating Three Mile Island, which has been shut down since the 70s.
Uh-huh.
And they're bringing it back online because it was bought by, I think it was Amazon.
Microsoft.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
To do their AI. They need that kind of power.
Yeah, they do.
I need to plug it into a big plug.
So they just wheeled in this little generator or something, Tom? I thought they had to build one there. And then
They use
brine or salt to cool it, too. It's pretty fascinating.
They bring them to you.
I read a white sheet, which is like a research article said if they try to build our infrastructure out through electricity the way it's in place, it would take decades.
You can't do it.
Yeah, I mean, the only really option they have is a shortcut, which is going to be nuclear.
Yeah.
Because
you don't have to worry about the...
Put the generator of electricity closer to the end users.
Right.
Versus having one in the middle of Phoenix, Palo Verde, that has to go
out
to everybody because that infrastructure for wiring and everything is just amazingly crazy.
And China's ahead of us on this technology. Their electricity is like three times better than ours. And that's going to give them an advantage for the AI if they...
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're still on coal, though.
If you Google there, they do like three times the amount of production energy. But what they found out, these little containers, you might say, like a little one, they don't melt down. Like, they've tried to melt it down. And whatever technology is in there, they just can't.
Yeah.
Everyone doesn't want a nuclear power plant next to them because they don't want to melt down, right?
Well, we've seen the accident in Chernobyl, Three Mile Island, Fitsujima, you know, where they melted down. Those are old designs, old technologies, and they don't do them like that anymore. Particularly these little ones are built totally different.
But they even, you know, it's interesting. This thing said they even tried to have melt them down, and they just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
So, interesting.
Yeah. That is interesting. Good to see that they're using elements that we actually have. Like, because the coal, I was listening on Bloomberg, this company, this corporation uses coal, and that's what they get the rare earth elements out of.
Coal?
Yeah.
Like the process, you mean the process coal?
Yeah.
I didn't know they did that.
They take coal and
probably the ashes.
They have a way to refine it and find the rare earth minerals are coming out of it, out of coal.
We still mine coal. We're an exporter.
I think coal has its purpose, right? I mean, it's not like, you know.
Yeah.
What's going to be interesting?
What's
interesting is I think the next decade they're going to find the energy that continues on. What do they call that energy? Where it just keeps going?
Fusion.
Fusion. Because they're already having it run for like a minute before it fizzes out.
Wow, a whole minute, man.
Well, if that happens, that's a huge game changer.
That's hydro, right?
No.
It's like splitting atoms or something. I don't know. Yeah. But then the other side of this is the hydrogen. Because there's even cars, you know, out there that are hydrogen. I think India has cars that run on water.
I don't like hydrogen.
Why is that?
Well, because to transport it to actually to make hydrogen costs too more energy.
No, not hydrogen. I mean H2O, water.
Oh, water.
Yeah. Yeah, there's cars. Like a hydrogen there's cars that they can run on water.
Well, then I want that one.
Yeah.
And I have a hose at the house.
Not fresh water.
Yeah.
It's
and then,
all water
then the exhaust will kick out water, which is good for the trees, especially in Yuma.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of stuff coming down the pipe. There's some, I listened to this podcast called All In. There's about four guys that are, I think they're all billionaires, but they started with nothing from Tech Valley, but they're really smart. They're saying the next person is going to be worth $1 trillion as net worth. Now, Elon Musk, I think, was up to like 450, but now he's back down to three or something.
Yeah.
But who is going to be the trillion is the one who does the energy infusion or whatever that's called.
Oh, okay.
Whoever figures that out's golden.
Musk was working on the storage, the batteries, but not the fusion.
But that was a prediction by these guys.
But he thinks he's going to make it through AI and robotics much more than Tesla will be the robotics and AI.
Yeah. Well, did you hear that I think in 2 weeks, all the Teslas are not going to have Gronk, which is a service.
Gronk 4.0.
Yeah, the automatic in the car.
Oh, it is. Nice.
So the way they built these Teslas out, is it Gronk?
Gronk.
Yeah. Gronk, okay. Yeah,
you're thinking of the tight end.
No. Well, the G-R-O-K, however you say that.
Gronk.
Yeah. But anyways, the way they have these Teslas, they can just, it's almost like a download of a computer. So they can, like these, the robo-taxis that are coming out with Tesla, I think you have to have a certain model, but they can just download that and you instantly have that capability.
Right.
Unlike cars, once you drive them off the parking lot, you maintenance them, but you have what you have. You can't keep upgrading, you know? It's pretty amazing.
They designed them that way. In fact, they have they're ready for the technology, even though the technology wasn't created yet. So you're right. They just transmit it to you when it comes.
So I don't know. I read another thing that was interesting. So Tesla has the most information on driverless cars.
Right.
Because when they built these Teslas, and I don't think they really told people, ton of cameras and things on them, and they were basically taking all the data of everyone driving around and using that into the formula or whatever, however they figured out to get the robo-taxis going.
Well, the habits and stuff of other drivers probably,
Because no one else was doing that.
They've been beta testing the auto drive. And you have to sign up for it, and they have to qualify, but you have to be in the car, and you have to have your hands on the steering wheel.
But I think before they got to that point, they were using all of the Tesla cars, getting their data, because that's how people drive, right? I mean, you can test a million cars of what people drive. They're taking that data to come up with a little formula of how they're going to get it to work.
Mm-hmm. And think of what it used to be like when we had to gather the data ourselves and do the formulas and all of the crunching of the numbers. Now you put that into that AI, it's so much faster, and that's why things are advancing the way they are, because they can run all these different scenarios using the AI, and it learns from, you know, hey, these drivers act this way, and so when they do these driverless cars, that's some of the reasons.
AI is going to replace you someday, George.
It won't us.
2 more years, he's retired.
Yeah, that's true. But I was thinking about it. I was kind of like, hey, I could, you know, coming out of the shower and sitting there getting ready for work, I can ask Grok something kind of interesting, like, hey, tell me about these little new
nuclear reactors. Yeah, it'll tell you to put your clothes on, is what's going to tell you.
But just have it talk to you while you're getting ready. Tell me about these little nuclear reactors that you can wheel in and start using and stuff, Grok.
I just wanted to, you know, when I walk in the door, say, welcome, Master Clark, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
How can I serve you?
Lights, please. Music.
What was the robot on the Jetsons? Was it Betsy?
Yeah.
The name? Yeah.
Or Betty.
Yeah.
Betsy.
Yeah. Betty.
Cook dinner for you. Yeah.
So I was talking to a client yesterday, and he got Grok 4.
Yeah.
And he basically...
Already?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I think you have to subscribe to it. I think it's $200 a month for the good stuff. But anyways, he went through the big, beautiful bill. He said he spent a couple hours and just kept asking questions related to him personally.
Oh.
And he said he got basically a PDF of all the things in that bill that would affect him.
Oh, that's cool.
So that basically now he's going to study it and probably go back to his CPA and be like, hey, what about this? What about that? And in the past... you know, you always relied on other people to tell you, hey, George, you get to deduct this, deduct that.
Yeah, to decipher.
So now you're getting AI to say,
yeah,
hey,
you're making it personal or for your individual self.
It's better than getting 50 interns to read different pages and take notes.
Yeah.
And give you advice. Yeah.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
All right, we're up against our next break here. Money Talk, AM560, KBLU.
At Yuma and Imperial Valley Wealth Management, we believe that knowledge is power. Since 2001, we've empowered the Yuma community with the financial insights and the strategies needed to achieve your dreams. Whether you're planning for retirement or managing your wealth, our team is here to guide you every step of the way. Investment advisor services offered through CWM, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor.
With Mortgage One. When it comes to the biggest financial decisions of your life, you deserve expert guidance. At Mortgage One, we know a home loan is more than just numbers. It's part of your financial future. Our team's highly qualified professionals provide a complete mortgage analysis. We'll help you explore the available programs and options to fit your needs in today's marketplace. The Mortgage One team will work to blend your mortgage needs and compare cash to close and payment options with various programs in today's marketplace, offering competitive interest rates to meet your needs. Again, Mortgage One, an equal housing lender, NMLS number 898812. Give us a call today at 928-483-LOAN, which is 928-483-5626.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk here. George Davis, Tom Rush, talking about things. Hey, I want to, before I forget, we're having a Social Security workshop, completely educational, goes over the best ways to pull money out of Social Security. Believe it or not, there's a lot of different ways you can do it. A lot of people just, you know, make a quick decision in 5 minutes and do it. So we think you should come to this. It's going to be July 19th, Saturday at 10 a.m. It's going to be at our office. We have a conference room and such. So you can call our office to RSVP if you want to get on. It's basically a great workshop for Social Security, when to take it, how to maximize it. Our office number is 928-329-1700 if you want to call in RSVP. Look at our website. It's also on the website, www.yivwm.com. Which is Yuma Imperial Valley Wealth Management.com, but YIVWM. Anyways, you know, it's a good, everyone should spend some time on it, because you spend your whole life putting the money in, and there's different ways you can pull it out, and a lot of times it's not done right. So, anyways.
I just don't collect it because I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
You know, it's going up for you. You're doing the right thing.
Well, the biggest thing it does, too, is you can plug their situation, husband, wife, who always want to look at both, into a software program, which is Money Guide Pro, and it will tell you, because most people just say, well, I'm going to take it at 62 because government's going broke. We got $35 trillion deficit. But what they don't understand is you take a 25% haircut, and if you continue to work, then you get half of the money, because you have to be full retirement age where they don't take anything back. So there's a lot of what ifs. So it's worth plugging it in and let the computer, you know, do its magic, and then you can look at different scenarios.
Yeah, there's different scenarios that people don't really think about, especially if you're married and you've got that choice. I had a client, bless her heart, she thought on that widow benefit, because if a widow passes, you know, if you're a widow and your significant other passes away, then you can hop onto their Social Security if it's higher than your own. That's a big deal. So when you're making this choice as a couple, but she was thinking that that only applied if the man died, not if the woman died. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of an interesting way to think about it. I never thought it that way, because it is either or. But she was under the impression it only applied if her husband died. And I'm like, no, you die, he can hop on yours too, because hers is higher.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
Hey, Tom, a couple of things. Let's talk a little bit about the market, since we are Money Talk.
Okay,
because I got some questions here for you. I got this good quote here. As General Patton told us many years ago, if everyone is thinking alike, then someone isn't thinking. You know Patton said that?
No, but I think I heard that somewhere.
Yeah. I like that. But that was kind of earlier in the year when the market was down and there was a lot of negativity in the market. Oh, it's a bear market. Now the recessions are at 40%.
Well, the tariffs is what caused all that.
Yeah, the tariffs caused all that.
So February, I think 18th was the high point, and then it took about a 20% spill, depending on what you look at. So, but I agree, but I also disagree with that statement. And here's, I think it's like flipping a coin. If you look at, they have this new thing. It's not betting, but it looks at the probability of things. I forgot what they call that. Polygraph. It's a new technology like AI. Okay. And if you ask it a basic question, like who's going to win the senator race in Arizona, like a lot of times, basically, the group has the winner. I mean, as a whole.
Yeah.
So I think going in a group is lucrative because, you know, a lot of people can't be wrong, but the flip side of that is you make the real money by going against the group.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean,
is talking about financials, and this is coming from, you know, from the Carson Mid-Year Market Outlook, but they're just saying there was a lot of negativity in the market, you know, in February and March after the
elections, even the elections and all that. Yeah.
And they're, because they didn't get real bearish like everyone else did. So they're just saying, when in the market, if everyone's kind of saying, oh, it's a bear market, things are ugly, that's the time where you can make some money.
Sure. Go against the grain.
So there's also a lot of talk about, is it too late for me to get in the market? You know, if I'm going to put money to work, does this bull market still have, you know, some wheels to run on? And
what do you tell them?
This says at 31 months old, the current bull market is still less than half the average bull market length of 67 months.
So they're not even halfway there then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you look historically at bull markets, you know, 67 months is the average. And so, but going back 50 years, how many bull markets have there been into the third year?
No idea.
Just two.
So what's say that one more time?
Well, this says going back 50 years, back to 75, once a bull market gets into its third year, the shortest it's lasted is 5 years.
Okay.
So, and that's where we're at now.
So you're saying
two other times. It
reinforces that we have more upside, is what you're saying, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I do think there's a lot of unknowns, and the unknowns are, you know, other countries, but also the unknown is, like you said, this whole tariff thing is new ground, new territory. And it seems like it's playing out good, but if people start breaking new ground on certain items, not only our government, but I'm sure other governments in Europe be like, hey, it worked for them. I'm going to do the same thing or push my weight around or whatever. So I don't know.
Apparently, there's a lot of changes going on for the positive in Germany because of this, because of the tariffs and what's happening.
And it looks like they're going to get a conservative guy in there who's going to make some changes because they have some problems.
And a lot of people don't realize, Tom, I know you do, is that the equity market for, you know, international has done well. It's probably one of the leaders this year.
Yeah, it's kind of.
People think, oh, they've been going on, international's not doing well. It is.
Yeah. And so, I think the weaker dollar is causing some of that.
Yeah. They also talked about diversification because, you know, you hear there's no free lunches. Well, there is a free lunch. It's called diversification. It's being diversified. You know, the last couple of years, we were led by tech heavy and large U.S. growth. And now it's playing back into being diversified, whether that's commodities, international market. That's been kind of the way to be now, is to be diversified.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Diversity is your friend.
Yeah. You know, we don't give these guys enough credit sometimes. These guys at Carson, they have those 10 certified financial analysts.
Who's
we
Carson?
Rely on. Carson Group is our RIA, registered investment advisory firm, where we get that fiduciary responsibility from. So they're the ones that have, you know, help us with compliance. They help us with money management.
So they're out of Omaha, Nebraska. And I think they manage closer to about $50 billion now.
How many?
50?
Yeah.
50.
Oh, $50
billion. Yeah, or I think thereof, or give or take.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But, yeah, so we've been with them, what, almost 4 years now?
This will be a little over four now, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, going on five.
Yeah, so.
But, no, they're pretty sharp. That's what their job is. That's what they do. They look at the economy. They look at different, you know, scenarios and asset allocation, and they help us with these strategies. And like they went into gold, a year and a half ago? And
they got heavy into
international
a year ago when it didn't look too attractive.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So.
I remember the days you and I used to make those calls.
The old days, and I being in the business for 30 years, is that there's a lot up to the advisor of, do you go large cap value, do small cap growth, and the advisors kind of push the button. Mm-hmm. But now when you get into these models, like, it's hands off for us, which is really a good thing, because we don't sit there 8 hours a day trying to figure out what's going on, let alone having enough information or trained enough to know what's going on. Because we don't have the data.
Or less pressure.
Yeah. So so I think that's a big win. I think, you know, what's interesting, though, is, and I read about this, and I went to a couple of local businesses in town, restaurants/retail, and I said, hey, how's business? And a lot of them are saying, hey, it's pretty tight. And even though the economy, the market's going up, inflation hasn't been a problem, jobs are good, it seems like there is a little bit of a money crunch in the sense of, I don't know if people aren't feeling good enough to go out and keep spending again, but mm-hmm. Have you heard that? I mean, I've read about it, so I started asking locals. Like, I was at a restaurant last night. I said, hey, how's business, like, compared to in general? And they're like, it's a little slower than usually. So I don't know if that
even
means...
Even during the summer?
Well, yeah. So, yeah, you know, summer to summer. Yeah,
down.
Yeah, but mm-hmm. summer to summer.
Okay.
Yeah, I made sure they knew what I was asking.
Mm-hmm.
And even the retail stores, you know, I think. So I don't know. I think people, maybe with the uncertainty of all this, they're.
Well, there was a big talk about this tariffs, and all these tariffs are going to ruin Christmas, and you're going to have inflation just go back up screaming, and big ticket items, you better buy them now. So I think some people went out and bought a. Myself included, but our washer broke down. So I wasn't like, store up on the toilet paper. But, you know, some of those big ticket items got bought prior to now. So it could be a little bit of a lull. But I think people are still, everybody I talk to is optimistic and going on, you know, trips to San Diego or Phoenix and doing, you know, status quo. So a lot of trips to Europe. I've heard of too. A lot of people I talk to, and they're either in London or France or Italy for the first time. So mm-hmm. people are doing things, cruises. So, I mean, the cruise lines, Delta had a huge day yesterday. I think the numbers came out just people flying and traveling
so
a
maybe
lot more than
maybe,
what they expect.
Maybe what you're saying is they're starting to spend money on bigger ticket items like that.
Yeah.
And not small, like retail store shopping and mm-hmm. restaurant, local restaurant.
Yeah,
maybe.
Things that they wanted to do, those kind of life bucket list things.
Yeah.
So.
Interesting. How about, I mean, I guess in your business, Russ, when something breaks down or needs worked on, people don't decide when to take it in. They almost have, right? Well, part of your business is like, I'm stuck here. I need your service. 50%.
I mean, if the car doesn't run, then yeah, they're stuck. It's a tow truck. We do it now.
Yeah.
But a lot of people are running around on cars that are crippled, barely running, and probably doing more damage by doing it. And that's sad. But they don't bring those in right away for fear of it's going to be expensive. But they make it more expensive by running it until it breaks completely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I was driving back from a meeting up in Tucson. And this was like, I don't know, 3 weeks ago, between Maricopa and Gila Bend on the I-8. I have a 2019 Yukon with 91,000 miles. The engine blew.
91,000
miles. And
that's not uncommon. I mean, it can happen. Usually it's because of, you know, maintenance or a manufacturer's peculiarity.
I
mean,
Tom's good about maintenance.
I maintenance
though.
It. So he, the guy told me he got... Something melted down and just melted everything.
Yeah, you never
know. It can happen. But sometimes it can be something small that fails in there.
So anyways, sat on the side of the road for about 2.5 hours in the middle of the desert.
Mm.
And the semi-truck's going by crazy.
You were on the interstate? Or
on the I-8, yeah.
Oh,
I-8. It was kind of hot, but it reminded me of the Dateland days when my dad would say, hey, we're going to pick you up at noon. And then he comes up 4 hours later.
You were his favorite.
Find a little bush to like get underneath for the shade.
Trying to get some shade behind a little bush.
But anyways, it's amazing. But those are the car problems. But so what percentage of the people you think come to your place where it's not working? Like 20%? Is it that high?
Because it's broke altogether. Yeah, it comes like, in on a hook?
This, yeah.
Probably
15, 20%. Yeah,
you're probably right. You know? Yeah. Most of the time it's because, you know, lights come on or it's shaking so bad going down the highway they can't take it anymore.
Yeah. But do you find when people come in and you're like, hey, it's going to cost you $100 for X? And they're like, well, what's the minimum I could do?
But quite often, you got to be sensitive to that. And, you know, just like in your business, you know, they may not want to invest 4%, 5%. you'll take one. You know, let's get started.
Yeah, it's a step in the right direction.
Step in the right direction. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, even though maintenance is necessary, it's not unsafe to keep going like this, and you're not going to do any more damage. Like if somebody's brakes are down to 20%, it's not dangerous at that point. But look, you're going to need it in the next 6 months.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff.
So I guess what I'm asking is, since you're kind of a retail, but you're retail auto,
yeah.
Are you finding that people seem a little bit tighter on their spending? Is that, have you noticed that?
Yeah. No. I mean, I don't. They probably are, but nobody goes
but you're not, to you're get not in their the car. Office long enough to figure that out?
But no, nobody goes to the car to get their car fixed because, wow, I got a little extra money in the bank. Let's go see if we can find something wrong with the car.
Sure.
I mean, they only come in because it's a necessity.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a necessity thing.
Yeah.
It's not like
so going it's a different kind of retail, really.
Sure. It's not like a, you know, golfing or something.
Sure. I need a new shirt today. Let me go buy a new shirt, you know?
Yeah.
I got 20 of them in my closet.
Yeah. It's air conditioners broke, okay?
So they're going to come see me. What about like... Not like parts and stuff, Russ. Are you concerned as a business owner about parts, the price going up with these tariffs?
The price
you
has
guys
gone
have
up.
To get a lot of stuff from the tariff overseas? Is it local? Where do you get your parts from?
A big percentage of all cars on the road are made overseas. A big percentage.
Right, that's okay. What I thought, yeah.
But look, they've all gone up, but it's not because of tariffs. Tariffs really haven't affected us. You know, and if you talk to research, I mean, you know, it really has not affected the end price yet.
Okay.
They're still saying, but it's going to, but it's going to.
Yeah, I hear that all the time.
But you were hearing that from people that hate Trump. So is it true?
Uncharted waters. Who knows?
Well, he had tariffs during his first time, and it never went up. China said it was going to go up. Everybody said it was going to go up. Price of aluminum was going to be so high you won't be able to afford
more,
beer.
They'll say.
Yeah, but, so I don't believe them. I believe what I see. And so far,
so why did they go up then?
Huh?
Just inflation? Why are they up?
Inflation in the last 4 years.
Okay.
Huge went up.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Yeah. These parts.
So they're already elevated a little bit, you would say.
But we haven't seen anything from tariffs.
Okay.
And from what I've read.
But you're not buying, you're not stocking up or buying extra parts or certain things that are hard to get.
You haven't done that in a long time. Yeah.
No? Okay.
Because
if you're wrong, then 20% sits there for too long, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of that's not returnable. You know, you gotta be careful what you buy with us.
Yeah.
You know, after a certain time, you can't return it.
But I remember your Napa stores. I went up to the second floor because your office was up there on Arizona, and it was stacked with. I mean, that's parts. Don't get me wrong.
We had $1 million in that.
Yeah, building. I remember just boxes and boxes.
And that's all returnable. That's all within my system.
Yeah.
I don't have a system now.
Yeah.
We still paid attention. We still got the stuff that needed it.
Sure.
You know, you got like one more minute.
Hey, let me do another.
Do the Social Security.
Let me do a shout out. Yeah. So we have a Social Security seminar, completely educational, July 19th, which is next Saturday at 10 a.m. at our office. And it's going to be going over how people should consider taking Social Security, hopefully showing you how to maximize it. And it's different for everybody. But call the office if you want RSVP, 928-329-1700. And beyond that, everyone have a good weekend. Stay cool and do something fun this weekend and support the local businesses. Spend a little money,
support
George.
Support the local businesses. Support the Yuma economy.
If you I got must.
It, have a great weekend, Yuma. Right, money bye. Talk.
At Yuma and Imperial Valley Wealth Management, we've been proudly serving the Yuma community since 2001. Your financial future deserves the personalized care and expertise that only a local, trusted advisor can provide. From retirement planning to wealth management, we're here to help you reach your goals with confidence. Investment Advisor Services, offered through CWM LLC and SEC Registered Investment Advisor. The opinions voiced in Money Talk with Tom Rush and George Davis are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine what may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial, or tax advisor prior to investing. Guests on Money Talk are not affiliated with CWM LLC, Investment Advisory Services, offered through CWM LLC, an SEC Registered Investment Advisor. Advisor.
Because the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.